Well, hello. It is so good to be with you today. Today, we are finishing up our series called I Am Jesus. Last week, we began with our last I Am statement, where we looked in John chapter 6, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And it's such an amazing chapter, and I encourage you to read it. If you missed last week, you can go back and listen to it on our podcast. It's on our website. And Jesus talked about how I am the bread of life. And he was having a conversation about eternity and that he is food for our soul for eternity. And he was directing a conversation to what it means to have eternal life and the most important thing that you and I need to consider. And we are worried about the provisions of this life and what's going to happen now. But Jesus says you should worry about the provisions of your soul. And so what we saw were a group of people who were following Christ who asked him questions. Jesus welcomes our questions. They are invited. And if we allow them, they lead to belief. But ultimately, for all of us, we eventually will run into obstacles that will keep us from belief. And if we're not careful, just like we saw in John chapter 6, the obstacles will be something that you will focus on. And they couldn't get past things. They were seeing the miracles of Jesus. He was right in front of them. And yet they couldn't get past it. They're like, you know, his parents, we know them. How can he say that he comes from God the Father? And they struggled with this. And so they were wanting Jesus to show them and do all these different things. But Jesus says, no, I want to direct you towards a conversation about life, eternal life. And so he said to them, he says, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, but not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves of bread and had your fill. You're looking for me just for what you can get out of this, not for what really matters. So Jesus says, he says, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. But for many of them, their obstacles kept them from belief. Jesus went on to say, he says, but I've told you, you have seen me, and yet you still do not believe. You still do not believe. And Jesus declared to them, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And so the question for you and I is, do you believe that? Is Jesus your bread of life? And for many of them, Jesus made it very, it was a very hard conversation. You should go back and look at it. It's a fascinating chapter. He really wanted to push the point of, do they really see that he's the Son of God? And he knew that some of them did not. And so some walked away. And then he turned and asked his closest disciples, the innermost 12, he says, are you going to walk away too? And here's what they said. It says in verse 68, it says, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Despite a hard teaching that Jesus was saying, they were like, no, we've seen it. You are the Son of God. You are the Holy One of God. And if you are willing to pursue and look for the reasons he is the Son of God, I believe that you will find him in belief. And then, as we're going to talk about today, the other things begin to flow naturally. Your willingness and desire to pursue him and to follow him and do his commandments come naturally. And then that leads to joy and contentment, which is everything that we are looking for right now in a very weird and unstable time. And so we're going to go into that. But if we get that backwards, which we do many times, we skip the belief in Jesus being the bread of our life. Do you get it backwards? Do you ever do that? You ever do something completely out of order? I have a friend who in their life, they begin to plan a vacation. And they booked things. They got everything laid out and planned. And then they went and asked for time off at their job. They had booked things like a hotel and all the other types of things, and maybe even a resort. I can't remember the details. And then their job denied them for the vacation. Like they couldn't go. There were other reasons happening within the company, and they couldn't get that week off. They did it completely backwards. I mean, I've done this before. I've went and I've moved my car for street cleaning, got it into the spot, and then got out and walked away. And then the street cleaner came, and I got a ticket. It's like you move your car, you know, into the spot after the street cleaner comes. I wasn't paying attention, and I was way ahead of time. I'm sure for those of you who have cars here in Jersey City, it's possible that you've experienced something like that before. One time, no joke, in pursuing New York City, my wife was here on a trip, and I was along with her for just a day or two. It's just something that popped up, and I could go. And there was a church that I was interested in working at in the city. And so I didn't apply. I didn't give any kind of notification. I just showed up at their offices one day and was like, "Hey, how's it going? I just want you to know who I am." And it was kind of like, I'd love to apply for a job, but I'm just going to just suddenly randomly show up one day in the middle of your schedules. It's literally what I did. It was completely backwards and out of order. What would have been better was send an email. "Hey, I'm interested in being in part of the city and being in ministry here. I'd love to talk with you." But no, I did it completely backwards. And I look back on that, and it was really awkward. And I waited around for a while, and eventually they got someone on staff to come and to talk with me, who, ironically enough, eventually became a really good friend through a very long story. But it did not work out in that moment. It was completely backwards. And that's the same here. Really understanding and making Jesus Lord of your life is the starting point for our relationship with Him. But many times we get that backwards. So when our belief happens, that naturally leads to surrender and trust. Trusting Jesus' commands is a natural result of belief. Trusting His commands is a natural result of our belief. And the very first thing that we do when we follow Christ is taking the step of baptism. It's taking the step of baptism first, because it's something that Jesus has asked for us to do. And it's this picture of what He's done for us. It's a picture of His death and His resurrection as we go into the water and come out, and how we've been washed clean. It's something that God has given to us to celebrate Him. But it's also something that Jesus has asked us to do. And some people say, "Well, like, is it kind of strange?" Yeah, it could be kind of strange. We're just going in water, coming out. And there's nothing magical about it. It doesn't save you or anything like that. But it's something that Jesus has asked us to do. It's how we start our relationship with Him. We say, "I'm going to take this step." And then as a church, we celebrate this, because we celebrate a life that has been found. And we see the great purpose of it. But it's how we start our relationship, learning to trust His commands. But we don't do His commands to get to Him and to find belief. No, Jesus has already done that for us. And so Jesus instructed us. After His resurrection, He was seen by hundreds of people. And then He came before them, before He ascended to heaven. And He said this to them. This is found in Matthew 28. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." He says, "Teach them to obey all the commands I've given you." And that comes from trust. And then He goes on to say, He says, "Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." And He says, "I will be with you all." Ways. He says, "I will always be with you." So what does it mean to trust Him? How do we go about that? What does that look like in our life? Well, one of the best places to look is the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is his writings and the scriptures that we have from him, the letters that he wrote to these churches, help us understand and take the commands of Jesus and bring them out into our daily life. But not just what he wrote, we also look at his life. And the foundation in which he lived his life with. Paul was someone who went on this journey. He was someone who had no belief at all in Christ, and then encountered Jesus, and then had a total faith moment in him and believed in Jesus. And then you see how he lived his life, that Jesus was his foundation, he was his Lord, and he was his bread of life. He was content no matter what happened. And so his trust was not in his status, whether people approved of him or didn't approve of him. His trust was not whether he was in a relationship with someone or not in a relationship with someone. His trust was not in his ability. There are things in the scriptures we see in his writings where people were like, hey, you know, you're pretty bold in your letters, but in person, you're not that great of a speaker. And his trust was not in his ability to be perceived well or not. His trust was not in his provision or his shelter or food or hunger. In fact, if you look at everything that happened to Paul, he summarizes this in 2 Corinthians. And he was talking about people who were boasting about things. And he's like, well, he says, are they servants of Christ? He's like, he says, I'm out of my mind for talking like this. But he goes, if anything, I am more. He says, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. So in danger from everybody, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, and at sea, and in danger from false believers. He says, I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches. I think if this was our life, this happened to us, I think for many of us, we'd be like, you know what, God, I'm done. I'm done. For me, like, my life is kind of the very last part. Like, I have concern for our church and the daily pressures that come with that. And that seems like a lot many times for me. Paul's like, yeah. And then everything else. But there are many examples in history of Christians and followers of Christ who've had really hard circumstances. And yet, they continue to say, God, you are my life and I follow you. Why is that? Why is that? Because Jesus was their bread of life. They had already known with absolute certainty that he was the resurrected Savior, knowing that he is the Son of God, giving us hope for eternity. For Paul, Jesus was his bread of life. And circumstances change. Life goes up and down. But for them, through all of that, Jesus is Lord of it all. And so when belief is our foundation, then what you and I do, the commands that we follow, the prayer that we engage in, or scriptures, or community that we are part of, and the ritual of communion and everything else that we do, is all about who he is and what he has done. It's not about you getting him to approve of you. It's not about, you know, what you do to make sure God is okay with you, because he's already okay with you. You've already been brought into the family. That's how we start out. And God is then beginning a work in you. But like I said earlier, many times we get it backwards. We try to do the commands and everything first to get to this place of belief. And so we have questions and we have obstacles and we haven't really gotten there. And so we kind of skip full belief and just engage more in the doing. So we acknowledge who Jesus is, but we never came to the place where he was our bread of life. His commands then are kind of like one or two things. Like, it's a way for you and I to get to God in belief. Like, we feel like, I haven't really ever made it there, so I'm doing these things to get to him. Or they're a way for him to get what you want. You're really similar to people like in John 6. You're in it just to get what you can, what fulfills you right now, what you need most. And this will eventually, it can work for a while, but it will eventually create problems. And long term, they're both impossible. It will lead you to fear and guilt and shame and eventually unbelief, where you walk away. In one scenario, Jesus' commands are just a burden. They're just a burden. Because you've got to live a good life to prove that you're getting it done and you're doing these things and you are a good Christian. But what if you don't follow his instructions well? Or you screw up and you fall into sin or whatever it could be. What happens when that happens? Or for some of us, you know, things, as long as things suit you, then you'll continue to pursue Christ until something is an obstacle that's too big for you and you're like, I'm walking away. Instead of wrestling with it and trying to understand, because you know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life and he's your Savior, and it gives you the strength to go through it, but instead you're like, you know what, I'm walking away. What if it doesn't work out? What if you experience hardship? What if you pray for something and you never get an answer? What if someone close to you dies and you don't understand and you're ready to walk away? Many times, we got it backwards. Jesus never was the bread of life. This never really was a relationship. We were never really free from the burden of our sin. We weren't really forgiven. We didn't really understand his grace. But he's called us into this relationship where you're forgiven and you're engaging him. And so we look at Paul, and what he did was all standing on the fact of what Jesus had already done for him. And his circumstances didn't matter. And the same is true for you and me. So then when we follow him, like we've talked about in this series, he is your good shepherd. He is your good shepherd. He's the one that's leading you. His rod and his staff are guiding you. They're comforting you, letting you know that he is there. And then when you run away and you mess up and you're like, I'm struggling with this, and you just kind of go away, he comes and he finds you, but he brings you back with joy and puts you on his shoulders that you've come back to him. And his staff is a place of discipline, but it's comforting because you know he cares about you. He's your good shepherd. He is your resurrection. When you feel dead in your life, or you're at dead ends, and you know how that life can be brought into this, you know that Jesus is your resurrection. And you read through the scriptures where he breathed life into us to begin everything. Or the valley of the dry bones, where God breathed and brought them back to life. And when things seem dead and down to nothing, that we know that he can bring back. And he's been your resurrection, brought you from the death of sin into the freedom. And sin is no longer a burden, and death has been defeated. And we have hope for eternity. He's your resurrection. He is your light in the darkness. When you have health issues or things are going wrong, he is your light that you can pursue in all things. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. You learn to let go of things. He is your vine. You are the branches, and he's leading you with purpose. And yeah, things aren't easy, and he's breaking parts of you off that are no longer working and not bearing fruit, and it hurts, and you don't like that, and you wrestle with God, and you're like, God, I want you to take this away, and then you understand that he's not taking it away, and you've got to go through this hard thing because he's pruning you to bear fruit. He's bringing you to a place where you experience and bear fruit in your life. This is a relationship. We have a perfect, loving Father who's guiding us. And when we begin to experience that fruit, we see our faith, we see God working, and that results in joy and contentment. Our belief leads us into a natural process of following his commandments and following him and him leading us. And that leads to joy and contentment. That is the result. And it's beautiful. It doesn't mean that our life is easy. But we are content in all things. And we experience the joy, the fruit that we see. In Philippians 4, Paul says this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your request to God. Well, how do we not be anxious about anything? How in the world do we do that? That is not easy. It's tough. It's a process, absolutely. But we know that we can trust in Jesus' command. And we suddenly have to, at some point, step out on faith and say, I know this is to be true. And we decide to trust and know that with his words, when he says, I will be with you, he's going to do it. Paul goes on to say, he says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Here's the secret. He says, it's this. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. He's not following God and as long as things go okay. No, God is with him. That's his bread of life. That's an amazing statement, saying Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He is my bread of life. Some of the most joyful people that I have ever known were Christians who've walked through really, really hard circumstances. They've had reoccurring, unending health problems over and over again, and yet I know them, and I've talked with them, and they have incredible joy through all of that. And it's amazing to see the life of Jesus in them. The bread of life. They have peace for their soul. And this is what we need right now more than ever. The circumstances of our world have been turned upside down. It doesn't feel stable. Yet we can always have contentment and peace and joy in all things. Paul says, I have learned to the secret of being content in every situation. For us, the journey, it starts with questions. Who is Jesus? If we allow it, we can come to the place of absolute belief because we know that Jesus is the Son of God. And then we know and we're learning to trust him. When we see that happen, we experience the joy of that. So what does that mean for you and I today? If you're someone who say, I've not yet believed in Jesus, well then your pursuit of him is just to find out more about who he is. You should read the Gospel of John. It's a great place to start. But if you have serious questions and you're skeptical about things, there are some great resources. Just use our connect button and let me know. I'd love to guide you to some resources where you can work through obstacles. But at some point, you're going to have to take a step out in faith. But some of you are there. You've been asking questions. You've been pursuing. At some point, you have to take that step and say, I'm ready to believe in you. Maybe you're there. And you need to set the doubts behind and say, Jesus, you are my bread of life. And then we take the step of baptism and we begin to take the steps to follow him. And if you want to know more about that, use the buttons here in our chat windows and just let us know. Fill a connection card. I'd love to engage with you about that. And then for others of us to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Have you been struggling in your life? Are you scared? Do you have fear? Or maybe you feel like you're just, whatever, I don't know where you are at. Maybe you've been feeling guilt and shame instead of a loving relationship with your Father. I don't know where it may be. But today I want to encourage you. Who is Jesus for you? How do you need to run to Him? Does He need to be your good shepherd? Does He need to be resurrection in your life? Does He need to be the vine? And you just need to go and remain in Him. You don't know the answers, but you just plug into who Christ is. How can you experience the love and the grace of your Father? For He is our bread of life. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank You so much for Your words of truth to us that we have today, that we can know with certainty who You are. God, I pray that we would know the joy and the kindness and the grace that You long for us to have. Give us strength to press through obstacles and find the faith to experience the joy and contentment in all things. Jesus, we love You. And we ask all this in Your name. Amen.